Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Back again today is my good old buddy Blake Weiland from the guitar podcast called The Tone Mob. You're probably well aware of that one now. And also the fantastic YouTube channel that he's just been killing it with lately. How you doing, Blake?
Ah, killing is the right word. Yes, it's been killing me. That's what it's been doing.
It's a lot of work to make a video a day, man, especially for an extended period of time. I can't do it. My hats are off to you because I can't do it.
I think, apparently I can't either. So I think had the fires and all that stuff not happened, I think I would have had enough like grit and determination to power through with it. But after that, you know, I had that pause period, and then I had another day where my internet was not working. I think I talked about this last week. And then I've had another couple days where it was just like some family stuff and like, no, nothing bad, but it's just like things that needed my attention and that were more important. And I just realized that it's just not going to happen this month. Like, there's no way to even, I shouldn't even call it that at this point because I've missed, I think, 6 days altogether. And, you know, that just doesn't really count. That just doesn't count. You missed 6 days.
You know what it's like. It's like, let's say you're doing a heavy set of squats, and I know you love your squats.
Oh, yes.
You're doing a heavy set of squats, and in the middle of it, like, you get a phone call, and you're on the phone for, like, an hour and a half or something. And then by that time, you're like, oh, man, I was deep into it. You know, everything was flowing right. I kind of don't even want to mess with it now.
Right. Like, I'm going to keep squatting. But like we're gonna do this goal some other time.
Right. Like, we're not starting our sets over today. We'll just, you know, maybe one more and we'll call it good for the day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what it's gotten to. And like my family has been like, oh, we need you to do, you know, dad stuff. And I'm just like, I can't. I have to make a video. And it's like this isn't working. Like I said, that was a perfect analogy. Like if the fires hadn't happened and I could have just powered through, it would have been totally fine. But then like I was making all these concessions where it was like, okay, well I'll just do the more on the back end and you know, and like, and then the internet went out and it was just like, this is just, okay, I'm just going to keep doing videos. I'm going to do as many as I can before the month's over, but I'm definitely like, there's no reason to even call it 30 and 30 because I failed. It's not going to happen. I've already blown that out of the water. I know some of that was completely beyond my control, but all of that energy that it took to, you know, load up our vehicles and mentally try to prepare for that possible reality kind of sucked the rest of my go juice away. So I'm going to keep doing it. I'll probably do, I don't remember how many more days we got left in the month. I imagine we'll probably get 5 or 6 more videos out of me, but there's no more 30 for 30. I failed. I don't like failing, but I did fail.
Well, but that's, I mean, a lot of people don't like the term failing, you know, I mean, I look at it as kind of a good thing. You tried it. You may not have done it, but that's okay. I mean, you still put out a lot of videos. You still had good things that came from it. And those videos will be on the internet forever. Well, as long as you have them on YouTube, I suppose. And, you know, no one was harmed in the making of the video. Like, there's literally not a downside to it, you know?
No, it's true. And I learned a lot. I'm probably going to do, like, the last video of the month. I've kind of already got it planned. It's going to be what happened. You know, the listeners of this podcast will know, and the people who follow me really closely will know what happened. But people who find it in the future and are, like, wondering, like, because in the beginning I'm talking about 30 for 30, oh, cool, blah, blah, blah. And then it like kind of like peters out towards the end. I think I'm going to do a video on like what happened, what I learned, you know, if I was to try it again in the future, what I would do differently, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'd hate to blame the fires because there's definitely some burnout happening too. But like,
yeah,
no pun intended.
I wasn't thinking it that way.
But I really believe that I would have, if there wouldn't have been any circumstances like that, that was just like, nope, I have to not pay attention to this right now. I think I would have done it, but I was very determined, but I'm too far gone at this point. So
yeah,
I'll just do what I can. I'm still going to be pumping out a crap ton of videos though before the month's over.
I'm trying to remember who I heard this from. I think I read somewhere, I heard on a podcast recently. I think maybe, that's probably what it was. I probably heard on a podcast recently that the YouTube algorithm, as long as you're consistent, meaning you put a video out the same day at the same time. Well, I mean, like, let's say Monday every day around 10 o'clock and you just do it every week. Well, then the YouTube algorithm will actually kind of reward you and start funneling more and more people to you over time. So, I mean, I would say as long as you're consistent, like maybe give it 6 or 7 months or maybe even longer, and you'll see more and more people funnel to you. That's one of the big problems I have is consistency. I mean, I still put one out usually twice a month right now. I love to do one once a week. I used to, but it just takes too much time to put a video out every week and get all the product development stuff done that we're doing. I mean, because we're not a big team. Wampler is not it might look like a gigantic company. We make a lot of pedals, but this side of it, the product development side and, you know, the marketing aspect of it, it's just a handful of guys, you know? And you know, there's just not enough people to go around. You know, we'll get off here. You and I will get off this podcast and my day will be spent doing some sort of product development and trying to figure out what's going to get posted on Instagram and Facebook. And then I have to do a video this week. So I have to get all that stuff prepared and making the video is actually quick. Preparing for the video is what takes a lot of time, you know, I mean, especially since I do a lot of technical type stuff. So, you know, I thought about one of the things I thought about doing was actually creating a video with taking a tube circuit. So let's say 3 12AX7s, making a tube circuit and making the FET version of it. So basically same values, just FETs instead of tubes, mm-hmm. to show really what the differences are in the clipping between those two. You know, and I could break it down piece by piece and just do sound comparisons and all the nerdy fun stuff. But then I thought, holy crap, man, that's literally about a week and a half worth of work. I can't dedicate that much time to making a video. At least not right now. Not with everything going on that we're trying to do, because we got a lot of really cool products coming out over the next 18 months. A lot. I'm getting ready to basically dump a wheelbarrow full of products out on consumers. Almost too much, actually. But it'll be interesting. It's just been a weird year. We talked about that before, but very interesting. But I am excited to see your other videos. You did a vlog too. What did that feel like response wise? Did people dig that or?
It was I would say slightly better than average. Wasn't my best performing video, but that's actually goes right back into. And I hope we didn't talk about this already. I know we did a little bit, but kind of on the same subject where you're talking about. That FET versus tube video going to take forever to set up and do if you ever get to do it. It's kind of interesting because what I've found is the videos that take the most amount of time for me so far, they perform fine. They do okay. But you know what's performed the best so far? That stupid unboxing video. Stupid unboxing video by far outperformed all of them, and it took me like an hour to do with the editing and everything. It took no time, by comparison, where some take like 6 hours. This took an hour, and it was the best performing video. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of unboxing videos because I don't watch unboxing videos. I don't watch them.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them either myself.
But
just not.
You know, basically what I was saying is like Brian could take, you know, a week to get this FET versus tube video set up, and I about guarantee you it's not going to like be a game changer for your channel. It's not going to be like the best performing video ever.
In fact, probably the opposite, because it's such a niched thing. You know, it's mm-hmm. a very focused topic, And the majority of people that are watching YouTubes, not all of YouTubes, the majority of people that are watching YouTube in general for about looking at guitar gear really don't care that much. Like, they're not interested in how a J201 sounds different than a 2N5458. Or, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's way too narrow and focused. Mm-hmm. Now, I do notice, like, one of my best performing videos is how to turn the Boss SD1 into a TS-808, you know? I mean, it did pretty good, and I just did it because I thought it was fun. Like, it's literally the most pointless thing to do. I mean, not really. I mean, it's not the most pointless thing to do. That's terrible, but the SD1 sounds great by itself, you know?
Right.
There's not really a reason to turn it to a TS-808 unless you just like doing that sort of thing. And I do, so I did, you know? But overall, I mean, the majority of people playing guitar, I don't think, are going to buy a Boss SD1 with the intent on tearing every component out of it and replacing it with something else.
No.
You got to be a super nerd like me.
Well, and, you know, by the same token, granted, your channel is like a way bigger channel than mine, but my other video that's performing the best is one that says, "Are you using the Boss DS1 wrong?" And that's doing fantastic right now, which I didn't realize is there's a much bigger YouTube channel, and I totally forgot the name of it off the top of my head, but like there's a really big YouTube channel that did basically the same video like way before I did. I didn't know that, but I'm sure people are going to be like, "You just copied so-and-so at some point," which I kind of did, but not on purpose because I didn't know it existed.
There's so many limited topics on guitar gear in general. You're bound to copy someone else. I mean, not really copy, but do the same thing on the same topic as someone else. I mean, it just happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a musical instrument and effect devices, you know? And I don't even know how many people have YouTube channels around this, around guitar pedals, but other than the ones that are doing demos and reviews on particular pedals, like there's only so many topics you can talk about. I mean, honestly, if you look at most channels, it's a handful of topics kind of regurgitated in a different way. It really is. I mean, it sounds terrible to say that, but it kind of is. I mean, it's, you know, 30 topics spun differently. Maybe there's, maybe instead of doing a Boss SD1 with the TS9, maybe I'm like, well, here's how you turn a Metal Zone into a TS9. You know,
right.
I mean, it's still the same basic topic. It's just done a little bit differently, right?
And then there's the, you know, you can take the same subject, for instance, say a news topic that's going on or whatever, and then people want to hear sometimes your take on it versus my take on it versus Josh Scott's take on it. It's all the same topic, but we have different takes on it in our own little worldviews, which actually that vlog I did was about, largely it was about demos versus reviews, and something we've talked about a ton of times on this podcast, but I was just like, you know what? I still get this question. And the reason that I did it is because when I did the unboxing for that Squire, and then I did the actual demo of it, and I realized that video I made that was a demo was very much a review and a demo at the same time, and you don't always see that. I didn't do that on purpose, but it was like, here's the sounds, blah blah blah, and here's what I think about it. You know, it was both, and sometimes it's not both, and that's kind of what I talked about in that video. And also was like telling people like what to expect from me. Like, if I'm getting paid for something, you're gonna know that I'm getting paid. It won't be like a question mark, like, is he being paid to talk about this pedal right now? It'll be like, there's a little button that you can click that says paid promotion. You're going to know about it. Or if it's like a sponsor for the podcast, I'm like, this episode is sponsored by so-and-so. Like, you're going to know if I'm getting paid. And if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to say that I am. I'm not going to insinuate that I am. And that was kind of the gist of the blog. But
right.
I inserted a bunch of stupid clips in between that made it a little more entertaining.
It seems like I'm looking through all my best videos. I mean, there's some that are really basic. Like, there's one I did years ago, how to get better guitar tone using distortion or overdrive or something. Using distortion or delay pedals with a distorted amp. Like, I would probably not do that video today just because, I don't know, it bores me. But it's got, you know, it's got 350,000 views. It's done pretty well. Interesting enough, even doing, I've tested this, even doing kind of the same topic, but a different way doesn't always mean success. So, for example, I have one video called 6 Ways to Use an EQ Pedal for Better Tone. And it's also one where I show like using a little master volume in a Hot Rod Deluxe. And it's got like almost 540,000 almost views. And I've done other EQ videos kind of showing, not the same exact stuff, but still it's about tricks with an EQ pedal, right? Things, mm-hmm. ways to use an EQ pedal. And sometimes they get just a handful of views and, well, not a handful, but, you know, not nearly that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rick Beato told me, and I don't want to screw this up, but basically what he told me is if you take your subscribers and you figure 10% of those as far as consistent views, he said that's about normal for a YouTube channel. If you get more than 10%, then it's a good video. So, if, like for me, I've got, I don't know, 120,000 subscribers. So if I get 12,000 subscribers or 12,000 views on a video, then that's an average video. If I do more than that, then that's a good one. If I do less than that, that was a pretty bad one.
We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in, and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
That lines up. I didn't know that was like the general number. And he's obviously been very successful at YouTube and has been doing it for quite a while. That is exactly my observation as well. Not just on my channel. Like, I pay attention to other people's and talk to a bunch of YouTubers. And, you know, like, this, it's kind of weird how, like, I'm so late to actually, like, putting in the real work to do this when I talk to so many content creators. But, that is about the number that I've seen too. This is about 10% of your actual subscriber base. That's an average video, which is weird to wrap your mind around if you're not a content creator type person. Like, wow, that's it?
Yeah, you would think, well, I've got 100,000 subscribers. That means that 100,000 people are going to see my video. Nope.
No.
No. Nope. Doesn't work that way. Just like if you have 500 friends on Facebook, or for even probably more applicable, if you have 500 likes on your Facebook page about your music, there's nowhere near 500 that are going to see the song that you just posted on Facebook.
No, like two.
Right. If you're lucky, you know.
There's just so much being thrown out at people. It's a combination of the algorithms trying their best to show you what they think you want to see. And just the fact that there are literally billions of videos now, billions of pieces of content. Like, the fact that people are hearing this right now, that they're listening this like 20 minutes in or whatever it is, and they've been listening this long, is insane. It is crazy. Podcasts are one of the only format that people will genuinely sit down. Not the only format. People do watch long form YouTube sometimes, but like, you know, there will be times where I have a podcast that I download that's 3 hours long, and I'll finish it. Not in one go, but, like, I'll put my headphones on, mow the yard, finish a little bit of it, you know? Drive somewhere, finish the next part of it. Like,
right.
The fact that podcasts are a piece of content that people will sit down and actually finish hours worth of content, that's, like, the only thing in these days that exists outside of people, you know, sitting down to watch family movie night or something.
Yeah.
It's really strange. Strange and awesome. That's why I love podcasts so much.
It is awesome. I mean, it's the podcast community is quite a bit different than every other, and I don't consider the social media, but it's different than every other social media platform. I mean, it's different than Instagrams, the Twitters, and et cetera, et cetera. Because you know, most people who listen to podcasts, they listen to it consistently, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, and believe it or not, more often than not, even if it kind of sucks, they'll still kind of listen to it. I mean, even if it's a bad episode, like there's episodes where I'm like, this wasn't my favorite one from Joe Rogan or whatever, but I'm mowing and I'm not going to stop mowing and find a different podcast to listen to. There are exceptions. There are times.
Yeah,
of course,
there are times.
Like,
yeah.
You're like, all right, I'm done with this one.
Like, gone off the deep end. I don't want to hear any more about DMT.
Right. I get it. We should all smoke pot. I get it. Like, yeah. Geez, Joe.
Yeah.
No, Joe's funny because, like, it could be anything. You could be talking about, you know, like the most serious thing. And he'd be like, you know what's cool is when people smoke pot. And they think, you know, he'll like somehow take it into marijuana, you know, and I'm not saying this is not a marijuana is good or bad thing. It's just when the topic always goes there, there's a point where I'm like, all right, can we move past this into something a little, you know, a little bit deeper than what we don't normally listen to. You know? That's just me though.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan.
It's podcasts are just, they're very... They're very, you know, it's seeming like everybody's got one now. It used to be everybody had a blog, you know, Now everybody's got a podcast. And it feels weird to, you know, 2015 doesn't feel like that long ago, but it feels weird to like be part of the old guard. And don't get me wrong, people were podcasting 10 years prior to that. Like,
yeah,
but almost nobody was listening. About 2015 is when, you know, 2013 to 2015 is when people really started listening, I think, in mass. Mm-hmm. And or at least when it became available, like on your phones. I might have the timeline screwed up, but it feels weird to have like been doing this for a long time and having people come up to you and be like, do you know what a podcast is? You're like, yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. Like, I actually am a podcaster. It's very weird, but
so you would say that the podcast is the new blog. That's an interesting statement that you would say that. I hadn't thought about that, but it very possibly is. I mean, it's the lowest barrier of entry, right? A lot of people will use Anchor or something like that, and mm-hmm. you know their phone and their you know some sort of cheap microphone that connects to your phone and you record a podcast way easier than you can. You'll make a video. You can still make a video pretty easily, but not as easy as a podcast.
What I've seen that is really kind of interesting, it's an interesting, like, phenomenon. It's just, well, I'll just explain it, and I don't know what it is. It's just something that happened. So when I started, as you know, like, there was only one, maybe two ways to record remotely. And still, there's only one way that I know that you can use phones. And that's as far as, like, one person can be on the cell phone, the other person can be on a cell phone, and it records decent audio. And back in the day, when people would, I would like ask people to come on the show, they'd be like, how in the world are we going to do that? I live in Michigan. You're in Oregon. And I was like, oh, here's the thing. And people, their minds would be blown. Like, whoa, that's so cool. Now it's just expected, like, that you know that you're going to do that. Like, nobody thinks they're going to fly out to do your show. People literally used to think they were going to have to, like, fly to Portland to come on my show. And now it's just kind of, like, it's weird to do them in person. Like, it's not normal to do podcasting in person. I just did one with a guy locally, and since, you know, COVID and stuff, we recorded remote. It's, like, really weird. But the landscape has just changed so much. It's mind blowing.
So you mentioned a minute ago about the video, your video about the something about the DS1 being wrong. Everyone's using.
Oh
the
yeah,
DS1.
You're using. I said, are you using the DS1 wrong or something?
Yeah. So you might. I think that might be a kind of a interesting thing to talk about that a little bit here.
Okay.
When you say using it wrong, what do you mean exactly?
So people often describe the DS1 very similarly. Like, it's shrill, it's ear piercing, it's too bitey, you know, it the gain isn't pleasing, blah 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 blah. They describe it that way a lot. And I think that is because people are adjusting it with their eyes. So, you know, it's pretty common for most dirt boxes, you put the tone control somewhere in the 1 o'clock range, you know. You know, this is just very general, but like you, it's very rare that you see anything where you're backing the tone control past or like before noon. So like say at like 10 o'clock as a normal, that's not very common to see that visually on a, on a dirt pedal as a preferred setting. So I think people like they go past noon on a DS1 and it's like, it's like, whoa, there's a lot of high end information going on there. And it is not pleasant most of the time. So what you need to do with the DS1 is kind of regardless of where, what kind of how much distortion you put on, most guitars need to be around 9 or 10, somewhere in that ballpark. And so it's really that simple from my viewpoint anyway. It's just don't use your eyes to adjust it. Use your ears. And if you do, I think you'll find backing the tone control way off by comparison to other distortion pedals. You will find some really good sounds in there.
I think that's interesting you would say that. I know I did a Euphoria video on our Euphoria, kind of about the same thing, that tone control is not, it's not the type that you put it at noon and call it a day. It's, I mean, you really want it down 10, 11 o'clock or so. And at least to me on a Blackface style, you know, deluxe reverb or whatever, that's kind of where it feels best to me. And so once I did that video, I stopped seeing a lot. Well, before I did that video, I was noticing a lot of people saying the pedal was too bright. And I'm like, that it's not too bright. Just stop putting it noon. don't do that anymore. Because the DS1 is, it's not that it's the same tone control, but the DS1 is, it's one of those pedals that, well, since I got one years ago, I'm trying to remember when I first got it, I noticed that 9 or 10 o'clock was the sweet area. And so I think what I really started doing about that time is I just started, whenever I got a pedal, I would turn the tone all the way down and I would just start creeping it up until I got the right amount of presence in, you know, rather than starting at noon and trying to figure out where I wanted it. It hasn't really been a conscious thought, but now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably why I do that. And amp controls are something similar too. I think a lot of people on the treble, mids, and bass, they'll just throw them at noon thinking that that's flat, that's transparent, you know, quote unquote. And it's not. I mean, those are passive controls. And with the, when you turn everything down, first of all, it actually cuts the volume off. There's no volume right there for most of those types of circuits. But also, even at noon, there's still a big mid scoop when you just isolate the EQ section itself. There's still a quite a bit of a mid scoop in there.
And you're talking about Blackface style.
Blackface, amps. Blackface style, and even Vox style. Believe it or not, when you have the bass and the treble around noon, there's a pretty good mid scoop in it. Now, that doesn't take into account what else is going on in the circuit. So you may be boosting the mids up everywhere else and combined with that tone control circuit or that bass and treble or bass mids and treble, whatever you're using, combined with that, it kind of evens out and it works, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe since I was a lot younger, I don't think I really have been one of those keeping everything at noon is at all costs type of players.
No. No, I mean, it doesn't, I understand why visually that's appealing, but it doesn't mean that that's where you're supposed to put stuff. And you're not supposed to, quote unquote, put things anywhere. That's why I almost didn't
Good point.
Want to call that video, like, you're using the DS1 wrong, but I admit.
Because what is wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I knew that that would get more people to click on it, so that's why I said that. So, because I don't actually believe in that. I don't believe it. That you can use a piece of gear wrong. I think you can use a piece of gear incorrectly when trying to achieve certain things. Like if you're trying to get some sort of SRV tone, there's a couple ways you can go about it. And if you are using a big muff for that, that's probably not going to work out for you. That's just not what you need. Could you make something that sounds cool? Yes. But if you're trying to achieve a particular goal, I think that's really the only place where you can quote unquote do it wrong. But
yeah,
that's only if you're trying to get to a very specific place. Like you can't really use a piece of gear wrong. If you're playing it and it sounds good to you, then you're using it right.
Then that's right. So, yep. Mm-hmm. That's my whole thing about pedal order. Pedal order questions I'm going to say this, and it's going to offend some people, but I don't mean it offensively. But it kind of drives me nuts because there is no right or wrong. Like, so if you want to put your delay in front of your overdrive, go for it. Have fun. Do it. Whatever sounds good to you. And I understand that, you know, a lot of folks are thinking, well, it's not that I want to know the definitive answer. I just want to hear others' thoughts on where they like it. I get that. But still, yet, there's quite a few questions that I see that either come through us through DMs or posted on the group or whatever, and kind of about pedal order, you know. And my go-to answer is really, just like you said, Blake, is there is no right answer. I prefer overdrive into delay, but try it both ways. See what you like. And I you know what? I actually had a hate comment on YouTube where I had said something along those lines in a video about pedal order, and the viewer called me out on it, and I forget what they called me, but I think they said they called me some derogative name and said, "And of course he has no opinion on pedal order again, you know, like there is no right way." And I'm like, there is no right way. That's like saying, well, you're picking all wrong. Well, no, I mean, if you look at a lot of way different artists play, a lot of people hold picks very weird. At least what I would think is very weird. I mean, look at Andy, you know, from Andy's demos. He doesn't use a pick at all. And the way he holds his hands, Andy, that's pretty messed up. I can't do it that way. It just doesn't work for me. But it does for him.
So here is a good snapshot into my idea of pedal orders and how it doesn't matter. It all depends on your goals. So I have a layout for a pedal board. I know this is going to come as a shock to a lot of listeners, but I'm actually going to have a board put together here pretty soon, which is, I know, just crazy. But here is my pedal order for this board. Starting with a fuzz, because why wouldn't you? The Model 1 fuzz into the Hologram Dream Sequence, which is like a tremolo octave thing that's kind of hard to explain, but it's pretty weird. Into the Maris Enzo, which is a synth. Into the Fuzzrocious Typhon, which is a preamp / fuzz / dirt / overdrive, depends on how you want to use it. Into the Wrought Iron Orchrist, which is a really nice overdrive. Into the Tomcat Green Muffer, which is a Russian style muff. Into the PV Stereo Chorus. Into the DE7 delay, into the Tonal Recall Reverb, and then finishing it all off with a Cooper Effects Outward V2, which is a like time stretching weird device. That order doesn't make sense to anyone but me. I have a perfectly logical reason in my brain why it's laid out that way, but it is backwards for a lot of people. So,
but if it works for you,
it works.
There you go.
Exactly.
Speaking of work, we can kind of close this up after this.
So oh, yeah.
You mentioned a hit. You got a hip hop gig. Let me try that again. You got a hip hop gig the other day, playing some guitar parts on it.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Like it, and you know, our conversation talking about how podcasts are this crazy thing. So I don't listen to a lot of hip hop, and when I do, it's usually like stuff from the 90s, just because that's just I'm a creature of habit, I suppose. But I listened to this horror podcast called the 3 a.m. podcast, and it's a lot of fun. The guys are cool. They tell a lot of stories, and they're all clearly like hip hop fans. They had a guest come on and tell some stories, and he is a hip hop artist named Spooky Bands. And I thought he was funny.
Spooky Pants?
Spooky Bands.
Spooky Bands. He said Spooky yeah. Pants.
Yeah, which also would be a solid name, I'm not going to lie.
That would be a fantastic name. Spooky Pants.
Yo, Spooky Pants. But yeah, Spooky Bands is the guy. And he was fun to listen to on the podcast and tell stories and whatever. And so 3 a.m. made an Instagram post. I left a comment, and so did Spooky. And we started talking back and forth. And, you know, when you find another musician, regardless of genre, it's just kind of fun to talk about music stuff. So we started messaging, and I was just like, hey, it's out of my wheelhouse, but if you ever need some guitar stuff, you know, I've got more gear than I know what to do with. So it might be kind of fun to, I told him, it'll be fun to get out of my comfort, you know, fuzzy rock zone, like, and do some other stuff. And he instantly was like, I got a track for you. And so he blasted it over. And yeah, last Saturday I found myself, you know, taking some time to like put some guitar down on a hip hop track. And it was a lot of fun. It's not out yet. When it is, I'll let you guys know. But it was a good time.
Did you have to do any research? Like, all right, so what have other people done on this type of music with guitar? Did you have to do anything like that? Or was it just sky's the limit? Just come up with something cool.
I just told him what I'm going to try to do is add some textures to the song and stay out of your way. That's what I'm going to try to do. Like, I'm just going to try to add things and not get in the way of the actual song. So what I ended up doing was a lot of, I plugged into just one pedal, actually. I used the Old Blood Noise Darkstar in their pitch mode. So I had an octave up and an octave down on the reverb. And I just kind of added some, just some little noodles behind the beat where there was room for it. I would just add in some kind of just textures, the best way I can describe it. It was just like, oh, there's room for me here. Oh, I'll go in here, and there's room for me here. And I would just add in little noodles here and there and kind of swell into some things. And it was like kind of ambient-ish what I was doing. You could definitely still hear like the pull-offs and the hammer-ons of the guitar, but it was, yeah, it was mostly me just trying to serve the song and add to it without making it too busy. So it was It was pretty fun.
That's wild. I have not performed on a hip-hop track at all yet.
Me either. That was the first time. But yeah, I think it's coming out on Halloween. So, and it also worked because like the samples they were using, it was like kind of acoustic driven. So it really made sense with what, like, even though it was completely out of my wheelhouse in the grand scheme of things, it had a very solid like guitar based sound to it. So it wasn't totally like weird for me.
Well, I mean, if I have to be honest, you know me, I'm a dad rocker. When I think of the ultimate hip hop, in quotations, hip hop and guitar mix, it would be Anthrax with Public Enemy, Bring the Noise. What's that?
Well,
early 90s?
I can't argue with that.
Fantastic. It's fantastic.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Amazing.
Speaking of which, I heard the new Public Enemy record is really good. I haven't checked it out yet, but I heard it's
Oh, really?
Good. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I do like Public Enemy quite a bit. So,
actually, I saw that on Scott Ian from Anthrax's Instagram. That's where I saw that at.
Really?
So, yeah, bringing it all the way back around.
That's fantastic. All right, Blake, so thanks for joining me. To everyone listening, thank you for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, others into guitar podcast. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to simply share this podcast with a friend. Adding something new this week, leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. Preferably a good review. Check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. You'll love that one as well if you like guitar podcasts. And make sure to check out both Blake's website, which is thetonemob.com, right?
No, just tonemob.com.
Tonemob.com. I get that wrong. I don't know. We've done like 300 billion episodes. I still get it wrong. check out Wampler Pedals too, because we got some pedal-y type of stuff on that one. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Sweet.